Hello, good morning. You're welcome to Dailies Today with Jimmy Disu. Right, today is Friday, and we have a potpourri of things that we will do, you know, today for the next 1 hour. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy what's going to happen. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk to EKD Isuguzo. We spoke to him 3/4 of the way yesterday, so we'll take the last quarter. I just have 1 or 2 questions to ask him on phone. Then I'm going to read a very nice mail from a gentleman called Harry Osaki. Okay, Harry Osaki. I'm going to read the mail and then react to some of the things that he said. I found it quite interesting. First of all, let me say interesting. It's civil. Civil, well written. So it attracted my attention and I read it through and through. So I just want to clarify some points to him, not with him, to him. Okay, so we'll do that. And then, of course, our good friend Harun Balogun. Harun Balogun also has, we have a few things to read there to round up the Friday. So I don't know if EKD is on the line now. Is he?
Who?
EKD.
No,
he's not on the line. Okay. Remember yesterday, EKD Isiguzo is a journalist. We were together in the Vanguard way back in the 80s, and we had a very nice and thorough discussion yesterday. Okay, and we spoke about a few things. I was only going to ask him, we spoke a bit about marginalization of the East, and so today I'm going to ask him his views on the president's visit and what he thought it would achieve. And then maybe one more question, and that will just be about it. I think we have him there now.
No, not yet.
It's not him?
Not yet.
Not yet. Who is that?
Nobody.
Okay. Yeah, once I saw the yellow strip, I thought that we had a call coming in. Of course, somewhere along the line, we'll open up our lines, 0700-993-993-993. And then we'll open up it's written here as the alternative line. I don't know why we call it the female line, but it's for females only. And it's 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Okay? Yeah, sorry for the short the technical break, but I think we got him on the line now. Good morning, EKD.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Fine. We've lost about 5 minutes already, so let's just shoot.
Ah, wow.
Okay, now, two more questions to ask you from yesterday. Okay. The first is that what were your impressions of the president's visit to Imo State yesterday? What were the things that you observed, and, you know, what's your reaction to that visit? What good has it done anybody?
Maybe it has done him some good.
Okay, that's fine. That's nice to know.
And maybe the governor too.
That's good.
We should also know that Nigeria is not about a couple of people.
Yes.
So we'll be looking at what good did it do to the people in Imo State.
Yes.
There wasn't any concrete thing said. The president was speaking as if he was on a campaign about security itself. I will do this, I will do that. You know, we don't want you to give us details of what you will do, because that also could flaw whatever security plans you have.
Yeah.
But we would have wanted to hear what you've done in the past couple of days over the increasing attacks on people, whether they're students, whether they're farmers, whether they're herdsmen attacking herdsmen, cattle rustled, attack on NDA, would have wanted to hear specific things that we had done.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, too, IMO wouldn't have been the appropriate platform
to say that.
Display, you know, because there wasn't really, it's difficult to see the sense of that visit.
Mm.
That's on one side. The second side is the issue of the city being locked down entirely for whatever reason. Yesterday, I mentioned in passing the issue of a security siege on the southeast.
Yes.
People's own reaction also would be that even if they come out to receive the president, so they will be arrested or the same, would claim that they came out to attack him. You know, so
you reckon, are you being sarcastic or you take that for real?
I'm not being sarcastic.
Mm.
The way the town itself, the military presence in the town itself, wasn't safe for anybody to be about and doing whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Uh-huh. You know, it was a high security zone. That's what where it was yesterday. And people just took a cue and stayed where they were. At least no lives were lost. There were no riots. Nobody was shot and so on. And that, for me, the part I'm impressed about, that people can take care of themselves if they are in societies that no longer care about what happens to them.
Mm.
Okay. And finally, we'll be asking, what exactly did they promise to do in Imo? Nothing. Oh, you will do infrastructure, you will do the economy in 2 years, you will stop insecurity in 2 years.
Hmm.
Aha, you're talking of illegals. We didn't even know that you had such ambitions because you haven't shown any.
Hmm.
You shouldn't be the one telling us what your legacy was. And with 2 years to go, by now we would have said these, that he has done are things that could stand as his legacy. So apparently, he just had to say something. And that was it. It was an empty visit, really. In every sense, it was an empty visit. You're still talking of Second Niger Bridge. You complete Second Niger. I mean, that's I don't know.
Okay, I mean, that's as far as the presidency goes. This also leads to the question I was going to ask you yesterday about the possible president from the southeast. There's been this clamor that the next president should be of Igbo extraction. Of course, we know that these things are not decreed. They are arranged. So I want to know on what side of the divide you stand on that.
I stand on the side of competence, and we have very many competent people.
I agree with you.
Uh-huh. And why is that is a clamor? Is because no matter, competence is actually not a value in politics. So I'm not joking. It's not a value.
I know.
What is value is being able to carry people along.
Yes.
And then carrying people along is the people you are carrying along who determine whether you carry them along. So no matter what you did, it won't matter. It will just sit here that he's not carrying us along. So that aside, we are looking at a situation where there should be a sense of belonging to people from different parts of the country.
Yes.
And that's what the Southeast is talking about.
Yes.
We are in this country, we are part of this country. Do not say because we are 5 states, which is also a deliberate political ploy, they can't win elections, so they can't produce a president.
Mm.
You know? Aha. So if we want a sense of belonging to a people, maybe you call it our own Marshall Plan after the Civil War, allow somebody from the Southeast. In fact, even if you give us the indices for competence and so on for such people, we can produce more than 30 people.
Oh, definitely.
But unfortunately, once a decision is made that you don't get something, whatever you do becomes a problem. People are saying, we are too many people are running. That's why they won't get it. But if you go back to 1979, there were more than 30 Northerners who turned up in NPN alone.
Yes.
By the time they go to the primaries in Casino Cinema, there were more than 12 of them.
Yes.
Shagari became president. Atiku ran against Buhari. Buhari still became president. And you know, some of those minor parties, there are a couple of Northerners who ran. So there are too many excuses. If what we want is to build, to draw strength from the unity of the country, create a sense of belonging, I don't even think it should be a clamor. It should be people saying, let this part of the country have it. But unfortunately, politics is not like that.
No.
Yeah, and we're also getting to a point where the Southeast might just say, whatever they want to decide, they decide. But give us enough freedom, whether you call it structuring, to run our own part of the country. Let's have the freedom. And you can see part of that freedom was what people exercised yesterday. Freedom to stay at home.
Yeah.
And associate with whom you want to associate. You know? You can't take that one from them. And I'm like, ha. And that's why they lock their doors.
You know, that point you made, it forms part of my argument with a few people.
Yes.
When I had spoken against hitting the streets, you know, that every time there's whatever, you hit the streets, people get killed. But you must think of other ways of protesting. And one of them is just to stay at home. In the safety of your home, yes.
Because it was a stronger protest.
Because I remember vividly, especially there was somebody from America who said that, how can you protest without hitting the streets? But like you and I are saying now, Abin Sherif, it's a stronger protest.
Yes.
If you stay in the comfort and safety of your own home.
If you're protesting in America, they will provide security cover for you.
Yes.
If you protest on the streets here, they provide area boys to fight you and they say you're rioting.
Yes.
Yeah, so your peaceful protest turns out to be nothing. So I'm glad people stayed at home. In fact, I was so concerned about people being injured, harmed, and being asked why you're on the
streets. They just sit in the comfort of their homes.
I was happy, yes, to know that they were in their home.
Okay, AKD, thank you very much. Sorry I had to take you through this, but I don't grab somebody like you and just let you off easily like that. And I know we can't deny it that you've also been a strong voice for your people. So I have no apologies for getting my questions to the Southeast, because you've been a very strong voice and you still are a very strong voice for your people. It's a voice that I respect so much, very clear-minded. Thank you very much, Ikedi Izuguzo.
You,
the next time you're in Lagos, I'm going to grab you again. You will not escape.
Terms and conditions may apply.
I hope you've started reading my book, though. I'm sure you'll find it interesting.
I won't lie, I haven't, but I will.
I'm going to find you.
Thank you.
And my regards to your daughter, please. Your daughter in South Africa.
Okay.
God bless you.
Okay.
Well, that was AKD Izuguzo, and I'd like to take one or two calls. But please, when you do call from a quiet place. And you can see the civil manner in which both of us were discussing a very sensitive issue. So in your response, I would love to see that being exhibited. So I'll take the first call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, sir. Who's calling?
This is Oyela from Snake Island.
Snake Island, okay?
Yes.
Hey, God save me. You, I hope you're not a snake in human form.
No.
But that's a joke. That's a joke. We know.
Landscape is snaky.
Don't worry. You know.
Snaky.
Okay, I'm please go on.
Snaky. Uncle Jimmy.
Yeah.
You see, Buhari, this cow or no cow? Well, like, this thing is obvious. This man, he just wants to fulanize all of us.
No. Please. I mean, no, you're not talking in a marketplace. You're talking to intelligent people, and I won't have this marketplace discussion of saying somebody wants to fulanize you. I mean, this forum is not for that kind of discussion. I mean, come on, let's get real and let's get matured. I'll take the next caller, please. Hello, good morning. Hello. Morning.
Yes. Good morning, sir.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good.
My name is Mr. Fowler from Ojo Alaba.
Yes.
I want to continue from where that man stopped.
Which man?
Your caller, your guest before.
Yes.
Yes. You know, when we were talking on Morning Quest for this morning, it was like that the Igbo should have come out to say their mind. That was their golden opportunity. It wasn't.
Okay.
Because the security personnel were all there, even at the up, helicopters was running everywhere.
Yes.
Who will come out?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know how happy those people are because nobody was shut down yesterday?
Yes.
No human being was arrested.
Yes.
They were all happy. I called my sister yesterday. It was like two or three times. She was sleeping.
Yes.
Deeply sleeping.
Yes.
Everywhere was calm.
Okay.
She has come and gone.
Okay.
Nobody is in the hospital. Nobody is in the police cell.
We thank God. Okay.
They invited to come and dance.
Yes.
Nobody show up.
Okay, that's
fine. Those could have been arrested.
Okay. Okay, point noted. Let me quickly correct something you said. You were right, but you put it in the wrong. You represented it wrongly. What I said was that he met with some top leaders in a hall, and that I hope between the two of them they were able to tell themselves some home truths. So that had nothing to do with that. He didn't meet with the people. He met with some leaders, and I said, and I hope that in the hall they were able to tell themselves some home truths. But I thank you very much for your contribution. Can I take one more, please? Hello, good morning. Hello, morning.
Good morning.
Morning, ma.
How are you?
Please speak up, ma.
How are you?
Okay, let's take another call. Hello, good morning. Hello, morning. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Yes, morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Yeah, my bro, I want to comment about the ban of the open grazing.
Yeah, well, that's not what we are talking about today, please. Let's always keep to the subject so that we remain focused, okay? Let me take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
In fact, Jimmy, I thank God that the president has gone to Imo and gone.
Hmm. Hello? You thank God that he has gone and gone.
He has come and gone.
Come and gone, okay.
Yes. Uncle Jimmy, please, what do you people in the media have to say about this commissioning of a project by our governors?
Yes.
The money that was spent in preparation of the president coming to commission from Imo State,
mm-hmm.
Uncle Jimmy.
Yes.
Wapus Odema have never put a stone. That place that was commissioned was done by Reuters Okoroshi. I'm not Reuters
Okoroshi's
fan. I don't have anything to do with him.
Are you sure, ma?
I'm telling you sincerely. Go and find out.
Wow.
Go and find out. Please make your findings.
Okay. Okay.
They just painted and renovated. Go and make your findings, please.
Okay, madam. You asked for my you know, reaction to commissioning, and I think I said it partially this morning, that I hope that we will get to a point in this country where we will not be judging any government's performance by roads and tunnels and castles and buildings and so on and so forth. You know, as if that were the only thing that anybody, a director in the ministry can do all that. That, for me, is not an achievement, you know. And I'm not going to be judging any governor or whoever it is, or even president for that matter, by that. So that was my reaction this morning, and it still stands. I think we waste so much money doing a lot of nonsense. Look at the kind of money that would have been. Though, having said that, yes, the president could visit, but like you rightly said, spending so much money on commissioning a project, sometimes, in some cases, the commissioning cost almost being one third of the cost of the project. And we should be less ceremonial in this country and get down to the nitty gritty. But that's who we are. That's what the way all our politicians are, making a big ceremony out of nothing. And I saw it was some road and some tunnel. I said, excuse me. But that's the way it is. So that's my reaction. And I think I would soon go on break. Am I right?
No.
No, I'm not ready. You're not ready yet. I have 3 minutes. Okay, 3 minutes, so I can still take one more call. Hello, good morning. Hello, morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, sir. Who's calling?
Thank you. This is Olafe.
Yes, I'm Mr. Olafe. Good morning, sir. How are you? Hello?
Hello, sir.
Ah, okay. Hello, morning.
Uncle Jimmy.
Are you Mr. Wolafe? Did you change your voice?
No,
I'm just joking.
It's Madam Grace from Igondo.
Okay, I know, ma. I was just joking. I was just pulling.
I want to contribute.
No problem, ma.
Okay. I like the way the president came peacefully to Imo.
Yes.
And left without any bloodshed.
Yes.
Personally, I was praying. I said, let there be no bloodshed.
Yes.
If these boys come out, there'll be clash.
Yes.
And thank God, everything went peacefully.
Peacefully, yes.
To God be the glory.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, Uncle.
Morning. I'll take one more caller before I go on break. Hello, good morning. Hello?
Jimmy.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Very quickly, just 1 minute.
With all your Kuruge, the man mentioned Snake Island, you fear.
I would not go fear. I would not go fear.
For the president visit.
Yes.
I think they selected those people who were at that town hall, whatever with him. I'm telling you, the people are really not happy. I have people from that part of the country. They didn't come out. Like one of the callers said, thank God. I said it. If they come out, right now, you know our security agents, where they do things, Sabi something. So they hear noise of how many number of people that died.
Yes.
But thank God they didn't show up. So Buhari, you still have time to amend way of doing things, please. Thank you, Uncle Jimmy.
Okay. I think I'll go on break now, okay? I'll take a short break. When I come back, I'll now review the mail that I got from a listener, and we'll talk about it.
Africa's number one station for talk.
Law by...
Right, okay, let's get down to business, okay? This is the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. We're running out. We need to move this up. I'd like to read this mail and react very quickly to it. It's written by a gentleman called Harry Osaki. Very nice mail. Dear Mr. Disu and Mr. Quadri, good day to you guys. I stay up and watch your show in Chicago early in the morning. I enjoy the show most times, and sometimes it's just maddening. I watch you on YouTube with Sheriff Quadri, and I've noticed a trend about your analysis that I believe is not objective and fair, but rather skewed in a way that shows your biases. Okay, so he means that Sheriff and I are biased show in the course of the show. And my quick reaction to that is, it depends on how you want to look at it. There is nobody that would speak in public or do things in public that would not be accused of one bias or the other, especially in a country like Nigeria, where it's quite commonplace. But we try as much as possible to be fair. The kind of bias you will get from maybe myself and Sheriff sometimes is the disgust if something keeps happening repeatedly. You know, like when we did the Apapa story this morning. Of course, there was a bias against Lagos State Government. And the bias simply is that why does this thing keep reoccurring? So you tend to, as any human being would, you tend to see some inefficiency in the system. And therefore, you are biased and skewed in that manner. So that is the kind of bias I can explain. But if other people see biases, it's a fair game. It's a fair game. What is in front of somebody is at the back of another. So I agree with him. He's expressing his own opinion. And he says that you take your continued talk about the CBN governor. First, let me state this clearly. I do not have no connection to this man or his job. I'm just stating my observations and watching you from a far distance in the U.S. The CBN governor celebrated his 60th birthday in Jamaica with some heads of bank in Nigeria, and you seem to be offended. First, even though I do not know if Nigerian taxpayers, you see, it says I do not know if Nigerian taxpayers was involved, I'd rather believe that the governor is smart enough not to involve taxpayers' money for his celebration. Now, Sheriff and I have simply asked the man to explain, because all kinds of rumors were abound. So all we did was to give him now an opportunity 3-4 times, explain to us what actually happened. But there's also something called the symbolism. As the man who runs the economy of a country that is in complete distraught, the least we would expect is that kind of exuberance that shows what's the word now? That shows you know, that shows prosperity of some sort. I mean, here we are, people are suffering back home. The symbolism of it isn't too palatable, but we didn't even go there. All we did was for him to explain to the Nigerian public that, oh, yes, I did it. It was, of course, it was my money. It was this and it was that. And just to give some explanation, which till today has not been done. So all we did was ask questions, Mr. Harry. And he says he doesn't know if Nigerian taxpayers was involved. Neither did I. But the CBN governor's explanation would have cleared that. And he says that if you want to criticize him for doing this despite the hardship in Nigeria, fair enough. But also talk about how tone-deaf the present administration is to the dire straits in Nigeria and to see the president's son's wedding. Would you not say that was over the top? Yes, I agree with you, Mr. Osaki. I agree with you. But the context in which we spoke about the CBN governor something, it came up. It came up in a discussion, and we said it should please explain. As for the president's son's wedding, if an issue comes up around it, we will do the same. But we don't go out of our way to go handpicking things to criticize about, or else you could spend the whole of 24 hours doing just that. So I agree with you. I agree with you that well, by my own estimation, the president's son's wedding was over the top. I mean, when you do have iPhones and iPads being reportedly being distributed, because I wasn't there, I wasn't invited. But some of the video clips that I saw are quite disturbing. They are quite disturbing. And it would be nice if somebody could explain that, the president's spokesman. Because some of the videos we see, but I'm very careful talking about videos, okay, because you don't know the authenticity of these things. But I agree with you that from the little that I saw, it very well was over the top. Indeed, I would have expected a bit more sensitivity, you know, being sensitive about the plight of Nigerians. And if I were the president and my son was getting married in such austere times, that's exactly what we would have seen, an austerity wedding. Well, we are different. We are different kinds of people. But I thank you very much, Mr. Osaki. And then he says, today in Nigeria, I heard nothing that the president administration promised during their campaign has turned out right. Now you must know I'm speaking as a person who is for good governance. He says, when you say the administration has done well on infrastructure, Mr. Disu, do you honestly believe that? I said, no. Let me explain, Mr. Osaki. I didn't say the administration has done well on infrastructure. I said they lay claim. I pick my words carefully. I'm not like Philip or Sharif or Zainab who didn't go to the University of Lagos. I'm just taking a dig at them. But I pick, that's why sometimes you hear me, I keep saying I'm picking my words. And in between, and maybe it's because I'm a literary student, in between those words, sometimes even when I don't say anything, it says a lot. So I agree with you, that's your perception of what I said. But I'm going to plead with people to listen to me carefully. Watch my nuances. I believe in sarcasm. Okay? I believe in sarcasm. Sorry, I'm a student of literature, so I have Achebe, Wole Soyinka, all these things combined in me. Okay? So that is that. And then Mr. Saki talks about, he's into construction and so on and so forth. And he talks. Then he says, why don't you interrogate more of the failed government you have at hand? He talks about PANDEF and NDDC. I think we've done quite a lot on that. And he says, here to a big disappointment. You know, the way NDDC was set up, it can do its work. It only works for the politicians. He goes on to say the things that we all well know. And then he says that, and now the total nonsense and way to show how the northern politicians have reached their brick wall. Mr. Disu, what on earth is going on for the government to operate a naval base in Kano? I don't know, but when I did some investigation, to be fair, I think, not that I know, I think there might be some merit in it, I think. But we still need to talk to some experts and come up with something. Excuse me. And it says, people need to wake up. Best time age. So what we are going to do, that's my reaction to what he has said. And I'm very, very impressed, you know, very, very impressed. He put his points across. I agree with some of the things that he said, that even the ones that criticized me. So I'm going to find a way to interview this gentleman. We are going to see how we can contact him, maybe on YouTube or something, and interview and talk to him in Faraway, Obodo, America. Meanwhile, I'm going to open up an opportunity again. The lines will be open. Call from a quiet place. Let's try and be civil in our reactions. And on that, I'll tell Zainab to click the first call. Male or female? Oh, Solomon, for God's sake. Who opened the door for this man? Solomon, can't your children, haven't you taken them to school?
No, they have not resumed now. You should know now. Now, next week now.
They should have grown by now. You have another set of twins.
You want them to resume by force?
Okay, Solomon, shoot. Let's go.
Good morning. Long time.
Morning, yes.
Let me talk about the issue of Mr. President visiting Imo.
Yes.
Thank God, and I thank God for my brother, Kevin.
Yeah.
He said a lot yesterday, and thank God nothing happened in Imo.
Yes.
I hope Sharif is in studio.
He has gone.
You know, this issue of he did not do anything. There is no government that did not do anything.
Mm.
There is no government. You may say they did not do enough. I will accept that. But saying they are not doing anything, look, Okoro shall start the project. But this particular man complete the project. Compare it to my governor in Ogun State. Most of the project that started by Amosu has been abandoned today.
Wow.
So what are we talking about? Someone completes someone's project and you are saying he hasn't done anything. What are we talking about, for Christ's sake? Come to Ogun State, come and see. Come to Akute. Go to Songo. Some of these projects start by Amosu. If this current governor has finished it, people in Ogun State will give him kudos.
Yes, so I agree with you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, this idea of people claiming projects also I find quite disturbing. And it's part of the ego problems we have with our leaders. They personalize and personify government. They make it look as if it's their private property. Jimmy Disu's projects. Zainab came and she did her own projects. And when Philip now came, Philip wants to start his own project. That's why Buhari, all these projects that you see, railways and so on and so forth, they were started by the journalism, but they are federal government projects. And I think in Lagos State too, we have a bit of that, whether it's Ambode that started it or it's Fashola that started it. Projects are projects, and I am saying that I hope that we'll lay more emphasis on the welfare of the people than on projects. Because yesterday I had to drive through Oshodi. When I saw what the previous governor put together as a bus station, the ugliest sight I've ever seen. But that's a story for another day. But we should always, at the end of the day, we should judge our leaders by the welfare and well-being of the people, not by how many kilometers or how. These are things. You see, politicians have this way of pointing to certain things that you can see rather than talking about things that you can feel. They don't talk about things that you can feel. They talk about things that you can see. So what happens? A governor is elected and he says, okay, look, you know what? Let me tell 3-4 major roads and I can always point, like my friend who did from Abeokuta to was it from Sagamu to Abeokuta, something like that, with street lights, and for 8 years kept pointing to that. you know? What is the well-being of the people during your time? How well have they been taken care of? By the way, Solomon, yesterday I heard it was almost like a public holiday. All the civil servants I heard had went for the governors. And I had said here that I hope he would have made it a very quiet and private thing, given, amongst all other things, the issue of COVID. But, well, our politicians, the noise must be made. And maybe to be fair to him, people around him blew it out of proportion. But we've seen a governor do personal things before, even in a place like Lagos, and he took control of it. But that's a story for another day. We're different kinds of people. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning. Hello? Hello?
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Adenose Patrick.
My name is Adenose Patrick.
You know now, I know your voices, one by one, all of you.
I greet you, sir.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad that the president's visit was peaceful and things went well. He was able to commission the project, just like you already said, sir. That unfortunately, we pay attention to what somebody is paid to do and call it achievement.
Exactly.
I mentioned to BRF, one day we were in Alausa, and they were all just saying, "Your Excellency, Your Excellency, Your Excellency." And I said to him, I said, "Governor, did we send you to the State House to go and sleep? You went there to work. You were the driver that was meant to move this vehicle from point A to point B. And the day we start seeing that the secret of impact is continuity, we will have a Nigeria of our dream."
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Adenosi. Right, we are running out of time and I must go through these two things. The first one is this. Let me give you some words of encouragement. This is by Mufti Menk. Okay, it's on Arun Balogun's page. Now, don't switch off the radio just because it's Islamic. These are things that should give you food for thought. Listen to what he says. He says, "Isn't it amazing how the Almighty always grants you ease right on time? You may not have all you desire, but he knows exactly how to meet your needs. He does it at the precise time when you feel you can't handle it anymore and you want to give up. Always trust his judgment. Okay? Always trust his judgment. A lot of us go to church, we go to mosque, but we don't have faith. You know, I don't think there's anybody who will go through life without one tribulation or the other. But what it is that with God's help, if you have faith, you will conquer it. Now, how you conquer it is not determined by you. It's determined by the Almighty. He knows what measurements to give you that will not, how do you say, Kaelaya in I know it's overwhelming you. But that's not the direct translation. Kaelaya is what? Wait, you don't understand. Anyway, that you won't find overwhelming. Okay? Yeah, so that's it. I was taking a dig. I didn't know. Huh? Is that what? I quite like this. I quite like what you're wearing, Zena. It's quite nice. I should get one. No, this is for women. Okay, so now, do you seek a Muslim life partner? This is the usual. A Muslim male, 53, AA genotype. He's separated and is a teacher. Based in Ogun State, needs a Muslim lady literate between the ages of 28 and 35 and ready for marriage. Of course, a woman between 28 and 35 should be ready for marriage. And says preferably a graduate with Quran and Islamic knowledge. Now, there's a 34-year-old Muslima that's female, gainfully employed. This one must be working in customs or NNPC. When you say you're gainfully, because when you're employed, ordinarily, maybe you'll be working in the Ministry of Labor and what, says gainfully employed and based in Abuja, wants a God-fearing Muslim as husband. He must be self-employed or gainfully employed. Not more than 40 years, based in Abuja and ready for marriage. A female Muslim, 28 genotype, AA, from the North Central, wants a young man between the ages of 35 and 45 as husband. He must be working and be ready for marriage. A Muslim male, 40, AA genotype. You see, I'm glad that they keep putting in genotype. Because for you young guys out there, you better check your genotype before you go start chasing a babe, before you get to marriage level. Okay, if you have AS and AS, don't try it. AS, AC, don't try it. SC, AS, don't try it. You know, you've heard of sicklers before. So I'm glad this one Muslim male is AA genotype, civil servant, divorced with one kid. A civil servant who is gainfully employed, though. Some. Divorced with one kid, based in Kaduna, wants a God-fearing Muslima for marriage. Preferably between 30 and 35, I must be ready to relocate. From where to where? To Kaduna. Excuse me, Kai. A Muslim male, excuse me for that. A Muslim male, 40, AA genotype, civil servant, divorced with one kid. Okay, I've done that. A Muslim female, 36, civil servant based in Southwest, searching for a Muslim man with the fear of God from the Southwest, not more than 40 years. He must have good Islamic knowledge, working and be ready for marriage. A 50-year-old Muslima, gainfully employed and based in Lagos, wants a God-fearing Muslim as a husband, whether divorced or widower. He must be self-employed from any part of Nigeria and ready for marriage. Why would any woman want a man to be self-employed? So his resources will be endless. Is that what he means?
He doesn't have to work on anything.
What does that do to the woman?
Maybe he wants an independent man, that you are successfully independent.
You can be working for somebody and be successful.
You don't have to be saying yes sir, yes ma'am to anybody.
So what does that do to the woman if the man is saying yes sir?
I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Oh, you're not so inclined?
Because I haven't worked in such person's shoes, so I won't be able to answer the question.
But sometimes we can at least have an idea.
Okay, so what I had in mind, I'd already said it.
Okay, let me spare you. Take the next call. It's always easy to throw Zainab under the bus, I tell you. Hello, good morning. Hello, morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you. I am Ishak. I'm calling you on the road. Yeah, I'm driving towards Okoko.
But you have to turn up the... Okay, your car is quiet. Okay, let's go.
Yes, Tony. I am interested in the advert you just made, if I can call it advert.
Which one is that one now?
They just mentioned about the Muslim that is interested in marriage.
Which of them? I mentioned about three or four.
From the North Central.
The one from the North Central. Okay, is a female Muslim. She's 28, oh. Is that the age you want? She's 28.
Yes, no, yes. She said she needs a serious one from 35 to 40. Or 40
45 as husband.
Yes.
She says he must be working. Are you working?
Yes, I'm working.
Are you a Uber driver or something? Because you are in motion. You're not the office.
I am not. I'm driving my own car.
Oh, your own car, huh?
Yes.
okay. What you should do is go and buy today's Vanguard. Then it will show you where you send the mail to reply to that. If you go marry this woman, you must send me invitation, no, because Nami Duan.
No problem, sir. Thank you.
Don't be the one where you go chop and clean mouth. But if you marry, send me invitation, I go come. No, I'm not going to sit for high table, I go just sit down, they look.
Okay, thank you. Today's Vanguard, right?
Yes, today's Vanguard.
Okay,
and I wish you all the best.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, I'll take my next caller. I've done a good deed for the day. Can you believe that?
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Hello?
Hello, good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, Pastor Ladipo.
I want to thank God for the president's visit to Imo State, that there was no bloodshed. But like you said this morning, the president is number one citizen. And everything about him must be looked into, especially his appearance. It matters a lot. For the commissioning, you see, sometimes these people think they are doing us favor once they go and do any project. They think they are doing us favor. They are voted to do these things. They put them in charge to manage those money. It is not as if it's their own money. So thank you and God bless Nigeria.
Okay. All right, I'll take a last caller and then off I go. Hello, good morning. Hello?
Okay,
I missed that. Hello, quickly.
Yeah, yes. The president has to be taught the real truth, but unfortunately, they missed the opportunity because those who selected to talk to the president in their closet will not be to have the capacity to tell him the real truth as regards the feelings of the Igbos. You know, I was listening to you this morning during your newspaper review.
Yes.
You say it was an opportunity, and true to it was an opportunity.
Yes.
But unfortunately, they will not get the real people that will tell him the truth. They will gather sycophants and praise singers to be there. It was a missed opportunity. Oh, God bless you, sir.
Okay, thank you. On that note, I'd like to thank you all. Zainab. Kikiri was here just before you came, and I'd like to thank him too. Dineji. I'd like to thank Philip. I'd like to thank you all for contributing. I have different names. I also like to thank the gentleman who sent the mail. Keep these mails coming so that we can discuss them once in a while. The guy who called in from California. We'll be back again tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And I have Mr. Chukwumerije. Yes, he's the son of the former minister. And I have Mr. Chukwumerije. And we are going to discuss my country. My country, Nigeria. You know, he's a poet and he's a motivational speaker. So we'll just sit back and discuss the story of the issue of Nigeria. Okay? So I'll see you all tomorrow, 8 o'clock in the morning. Set your alarms. You can just listen to it by your bedside. You don't need to get up. Put your flask there the night before. Even if it's cold, drink it like that. It's a sacrifice. I'll see you all tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Bye.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos.